But regardless of what happened yesterday, always do your best to just show up and crush a new day. Live in the present, not in the past. And I think lots of people get trapped in this mindset of, hey, I failed before, or this didn't work before, or why even bother because the last week I haven't been consistent. So help separate yourself from that by just focusing on what can I do today? What can I do moving forward to continue making progress?
My name is Lee Farnison. My brother Anders and I are on a mission to help 1 million vegans get into the best shape of their lives. We firmly believe that the more healthy and fit vegans there are in the world, the faster veganism will spread. Let's work together to inspire change, spread compassion, and challenge the status quo. Welcome to the Vegan Gym Podcast.
So I just came back from a super awesome event in LA. We were at the LA Vegan Street Fair, and it was a really cool experience. It's too bad you weren't able to make it, but
wow, that's a subtle rub it in.
Yeah, it was really cool. And it wasn't just the street fair. We actually began, the street fair was on a Sunday, and we began our
festivities.
Kind of, yeah, our festivities on that Saturday.
I love that word.
Yeah, good to know. We began our festivities on Saturday, and that was at Farm Sanctuary. So the famous animal farm sanctuary for rescued farm animals in LA. That's one of two locations, I believe. They have another in New York, but we went to the LA location and we just had a really great time with our team, and we had a bunch of clients who went there as well. And
that was like a full morning type of thing, right?
Yeah, for the first half of the day, so basically until lunch, we were volunteering there. So they have had a lot of rain there, so we were just removing fallen branches. They had tons and tons of branches that were just littering their the farm area, and we were just picking up tons. We actually filled an entire dumpster, one of those massive dumpsters that you see on like the back of 18 wheelers or wherever you see them. And that was a really cool experience. And then we got to tour the sanctuary and meet all the animals. And actually, a few days, 2 days prior to that, on Thursday, Jake, our creative director, and I went to UCLA, and we were filming a video on vegan trivia. So we were going, I was going to say going around, but we were just in one spot. We went to this one spot kind of in the middle of campus, and we asked, we just held up a sign. It said, answer trivia, win money. And we were just waiting for people to come up. We didn't say anything about what the trivia was all about, the topic. But people would come up, and we had a steady flow of people. It actually worked out really well. And people would ask, hey, what's the trivia about or something? And we would not tell them until they committed to actually answering the questions. And then we got their reactions to the topic of the trivia, which was just all about veganism. So we were going around and asking trivia questions from a bunch of students, none of whom were vegan. They were almost all meat eaters. We had one vegetarian who answered the questions, and that was just a really cool experience. I was blown away by how receptive they were to veganism, and they just had, I had some really amazing conversations about veganism.
Yeah.
Like the best conversations perhaps that I've ever had with non-vegans about veganism. And it was just really, it gave me a lot of hope for the future and what the impact of these small interactions that we can have with people on a daily basis, and doing it in a way where we're not shoving this down people's throats, but we're just having an open dialogue about the implications of our dietary choices and our lifestyle choices. And it was just a really beautiful experience. And I was kind of nervous about it. I'm nervous for most of the videos we shoot because that's very much outside of my comfort zone,
right? Yeah,
especially having in-person reactions to where you don't control what actually happens. versus shooting like a meal prep video or something in our kitchen, I'm still nervous about it because I don't really like being on camera. I'm getting used to it. I'm conditioning that into my mind, but you being able to go out and have these conversations is just even a little bit more uncomfortable for me, but to have those experiences makes it all worth it. So that was a really cool experience too. And then fast forward to the LA Street Fair. This is the largest vegan event in the entire world. There were over 40,000 people there in attendance.
Which I actually was surprised about that because I thought the one in Europe was the largest. And I forget what the one in Europe is called.
Yeah, the UK, the camp out or something.
Yeah, something like that.
I forget the name of it exactly as well. But yeah, that is a large event, but it's not... It doesn't have that many attendees.
Got it.
However, I think there is a kind of at least for what we're trying to do, which is have conversations with people, have people interact with our community, get to know us better, something like that. Even though there might be fewer people, it's probably a better environment to have lots of those conversations in. And that's actually one of the big takeaways that we got from this event is bigger doesn't necessarily mean better for
LA is very busy, so like people are just like really quick to like see and walk past because you have all the performers and a lot of stuff that typically goes on around that area. So I can see how it'd be kind of chaotic with so many people.
We also didn't have food at our booth and everyone else had food. So yeah. So that is a understandable draw to other booths. And anyways, we were absolutely packed the entire day at our booth, and we actually hosted a pull-up competition, which was really cool to see. We were raising money for Farm Sanctuary, and it was $1 per pull-up. So every pull-up that people jumped up and did, we donated $1. I was expecting, best case, that we would maybe hit $1,500. But by the end of the day, in just 8 hours, we had raised over $3,500.
Yeah.
So that's a ton of pull-ups. And in fact, the top guy overall who did 35 super strict, perfect reps, which we were sticklers on that. We were holding everyone to the same standard.
Marine Corps style.
No kipping, no BS, just really focused,
actual pull-ups.
Perfect form. And anyways, yeah, this guy did 35, and then after I had a conversation with him, and he's actually been vegan for the animals for over a decade, which was really cool. Yeah. And he's just in super peak physical shape. I had a really great conversation with him, and there were a bunch of guys and women like that. So that was a really cool experience, and we raised a bunch of money, and we also met hundreds of awesome vegans. So the whole trip was just a really cool experience, and that's something that we're pushing into heavily this year. Just trying to get out and do more of this in-person event style stuff, which I think is just a great opportunity to have more conversations about veganism and really push our mission forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, today during this episode, I want to talk about a really important conversation that I had in LA with a guy named Trey. So we're currently about halfway through our meat to vegan transformation project with our participant in this first round. His name is Trey, or Trey Sean is his full name. And the point of this project has been to demonstrate the health benefits of a vegan lifestyle. So Trey was not vegan 2 months ago, and we have been working through the process of getting him set up with all of his nutrition and some training and all of this stuff to really transform his body and life and do that following a plant-based diet. So that's been kind of a really cool experience. But this has been honestly a really difficult journey for him, more so than either of us expected going into this process. And he's just been confronting lots of challenges and mental roadblocks in his journey to ultimately lose over half of his body weight. He started at 382 pounds, and his normal healthy body weight for him would be around 200. So that, so losing a bunch of weight and then transforming his health and life for good as well is something that's really high on his list. He's got a family, a wife, two young kids, and he knows that if he continues down the path he's on, he's not going to be there for them long term. So anyways, he's been confronting lots of these challenges, mental roadblocks and stuff, and I was only planning to see him in person at the beginning of his 100-day journey and then also at the end of his 100-day journey. But given the conversations I've had with him over the past few weeks leading up to this event, I decided to invite him to LA to spend some time with me and our team, and just, I thought it would be a really nice reset for him to get him out of his normal environment and just get refocused on what we're trying to accomplish together, and just listen to him and make sure that I was giving him the support that he needed along this journey and just talking through the challenges that he was facing, because he hadn't really been totally transparent in text, and I just wanted to have some face-to-face conversations. I knew he was struggling, and it seemed like he didn't really know how to reach out and ask for that help. So anyways, I invited him out to LA. He actually has a past life, he was a truck driver, cross-country truck driver. So I actually asked him to drive our trailer that we just bought that has all of our stuff in it for these events. And he drove that from Oklahoma City to LA. So anyways, it was really cool. Everything went really well. But the point of all of this is that during a hike that we took in the kind of hills overlooking LA, we had a really great conversation that I felt and he felt marked a turning point for his success along this journey. And I want to share that lesson that I shared with him with you. And in fact, our creative director, Jake, he was he was there at the time, and he actually happened to be recording when Trey and I had this conversation. So that is, at least part of it will probably go into our full length mini documentary that we're shooting on this project. So if you actually want to hear and see this turning point in a few months when we actually release the Meat to Vegan Transformation video, then you should definitely subscribe to us on YouTube. If you haven't already, you can just search for The Vegan Gym on YouTube and easily find us. But here is the lesson that I shared with Trey during our hike. At the beginning of our hike, Trey opened up about his struggles with consistency. And in short, there were many days that he was totally crushing it on all levels within this program. So he was following his nutrition plan 100%. He was crushing his training program and even logging some extra workouts. He was walking 10,000 steps most days, and he was even adding 3 extra workouts per week in the form of dance classes. He's really into dance. And
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, he loves dancing. So this is something that he just was voluntarily adding. And in other words, he was doing way more than just being 100% consistent with the plan that I gave him. And that's great, but he also admitted to me that he had just as many, if not more, days of 0% consistency since we had started the journey together, where he was just sitting on a couch, he was skipping his workouts, he was eating junk food, and he even pushed himself so hard during one of those more intense periods of 100% consistency that he actually injured his hip in doing all the extra steps. And he was starting to do some kind of jogging, and he was also doing his dance classes, and just he was even adding an extra resistance training workout that I hadn't had programmed. And he just had this mentality of, let me just go all out and really crush this. And that ended up actually setting him back a lot because he injured his hip. And he also started eating meat again after that because he felt like a failure, and he was just wondering, hey, what's the point of this? I injured myself, and now this is all kind of worthless. So for one, if you have a coach, it's really important to be totally transparent with them. That's the only way that they can actually help you. And while I can't speak for every coach, I know that all great coaches are not going to judge you when you fall off track. Great coaches listen with compassion, and they will do everything that they can to help you through those periods of adversity, because adversity is going to come for you at one point or another. You're going to have some kind of stress in your life. Things aren't going to go your way. Something is going to come up where you are not able to do what you want to be doing. And having someone to guide you through that process can be really valuable, but they can't help you if you don't tell them that you need help. So that's one thing that I really try to reinforce with Trey, is that I'm here to help. I'll do whatever it takes to help you, but you need to be transparent with me. Anyways, after Trey shared all this with me, I first thanked him for his transparency. I really appreciate that. And then I shared my thoughts about what he was struggling with, which I think will help a lot of you. So there's this tendency that we see a lot in health and fitness to adopt an all or nothing mindset in your health and fitness journey. Either you are going all in 100%, you're totally crushing it, or you're doing nothing. You're at 0% because you're facing some form of adversity, or you're crunched for time, or you aren't seeing results fast enough and you're wondering what's the point, just kind of like what Trey was feeling, or you just decide to give up because it's gotten too hard. I call this the 0 or 100 mindset. It's a trap where you convince yourself that if you can't do everything perfectly, then you might as well not even try. So perfectly in this situation, we're calling the 100%. You're doing everything right, checking everything off by the end of the day. And when you're not doing that, you just decide, hey, what's the point? And you just default back to zero. You default to just doing nothing. And this idea that if you're not doing everything perfectly, you might as well not even try, could not be further from the truth. As I told Trey during our hike, there are a ton of numbers between 0 and 100. Nutrition, training, consistency, all of this stuff is not binary. It's not 0 or 100. It's not all or nothing. And if I were to attribute my health and fitness success to a single thing, it would be maintaining long-term 60% plus consistency for years.
Yeah.
At this point, over a decade. Maybe that baseline minimum number for you is 40%, or maybe it's 70%, or maybe it's 30%, or whatever it is. Just setting kind of a baseline minimum consistency number and say, hey, this is the lowest level that I operate at. And maintaining that, a focus on maintaining that for years, that is what is going to give you tremendous results. The point is that success in health and fitness boils down to showing up every day and doing what you can, even if it's not everything that you had planned to do. And when you get sick, or you face adversity, or you're stressed with life circumstances, or you're overwhelmed with work and family and have less time than usual, you might get off track for a few days, or even a few weeks, or even a few months, and that's okay. But you have to be honest with yourself and do what you can to maintain that baseline level of consistency. So for Trey, once he injured his hip, he told me that he thought, hey, what's the point? I can't work out, so I can't get results. I might as well just give up on my nutrition as well. And again, that couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, most of your results, especially when it comes to weight loss, are driven by nutrition. And I explained to him that he could have been seeing steady progress if he had just eaten right, even if he couldn't do the workouts. Even if he just sat on the couch and just ate correctly, kind of ate according to the plan, or we can work out some changes if he needs them. But if he followed some kind of nutrition plan that aligned with his goals, he could see great results. It doesn't matter if he is injured and can't, obviously that's not ideal, but it's okay that he's injured and he can't go to the gym. Fine, let's focus on recovery, but let's also focus on nailing nutrition. So let's say, just to put some numbers to this, let's say that his workouts contributed 40% to his overall program in terms of consistency. Even if he couldn't work out, he could still do 100% of the other things, which would have resulted in 60% consistency. So I can't do the workouts, which is 40%, but I can do everything else, which gets me to 60% consistency. But instead of taking that approach, he decided to throw in the towel and let his setback take 100% of his consistency and his results. In fact, he started heading in the opposite direction. He wasn't eating the right foods. He was kind of gravitating back into his old habits, and he started gaining weight back and just feeling really defeated about the whole process. So that's really the main reason, from my perspective, that people yo-yo with their progress. They go all in for a few weeks or even months, but then they get burned out or they face some kind of setback that causes them to not be able to adhere 100% to their plan. And then they wonder, what's the point? And they go back to their old habits. So if you have experienced this all or nothing mindset, or you struggle with yo-yo progress, here are some tips that I recommend that you implement to break out of this cycle. So I want to create some actionable tips that could help you break out of this all or nothing mindset, this idea that it's either zero or 100. So tip one, always remind yourself that there are a lot of numbers between zero and 100. To drive this home, 30% consistency is way better than 0% consistency. And I know 30% doesn't sound like much, and it would be ideal to be higher than that. But also understand that 30% is a lot higher than zero. And part of getting out of this mentality is reinforcing that in your mind, understanding that if you're below 100, you don't need to fall all the way back to zero. It's okay to be at 30 or 40 or 50 or 70. All of those numbers are a heck of a lot better than zero. And a great example of the power of moderate consistency over a long period of time is the story of the tortoise and the hare. So the tortoise focused on a mild speed with 100% consistency. He just focused on showing up and getting it done step after step. And the hare focused on sprinting at 100%. Going all in and then stop to take a nap. And then obviously, as we all know, the tortoise passes the hare. So I think there's maybe a better hybrid approach there, where you have the steadfastness of the tortoise and you work to reach as high a level of consistency as possible, like the, maybe this isn't a great example, but like the hare, where I'm going kind of like all in on going 100 miles an hour. I don't need to always be going 100 miles an hour as long as I'm maintaining that consistency there. So I think a good way to look at this is setting a minimum consistency level that you hold yourself to every single day, like the speed of the tortoise, let's say. The speed of the tortoise might not be as fast as we want to go, but at least setting that as the minimum baseline, I'm going to show up every single day and I'm at least going to go at the speed of the tortoise. And then during periods where you're feeling great, you have enough time to crush your workouts, you have enough time to do your meal prep or however you want to do your nutrition, then push yourself to maintain the speed of the hare and the consistency of the tortoise. But on days where you're facing adversity or it's a struggle, you don't need to go at the speed of the hare. You can go at the speed of the tortoise, but still maintain that 100% consistency.
So you get to still choose your throttle type of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was actually going to be, if you weren't going to bring it up, that was going to be my recommendation, because I used to be very much so all or nothing. And I still am in a few areas in my life, which probably isn't for the best, but it is what it is. But how I do really view it from day to day and week to week, month to month, is I set goals of this is what would be overarching and extremely ambitious to get done. And this is the minimum that I would be happy and content with. And what that does is it gives you this kind of window of cushion where as long as you fall within it, it allows you to end the day, end the week, knowing that you have progressed and it's within what you were wanting to be within, which then you don't really attack yourself internally and kind of feel defeated. And so it allows you to have a little bit of wiggle room. So when something does come up, you're not stressing about it and you're not saying, well, you're a failure internally and everything. And I do this with business. I do this with my relationship because I'm very much so, I need to be there. I need to be there. I need to be there. But then I tell myself, well, if things come up, it's going to be really hard to maintain that. So it's like, well, what can I be happy with as a minimum? And it's just, it allows you to have kind of clarity and be stress-free in that sense.
So you set kind of your non-negotiables for the day. This is what has to be done, or these are the priorities that need to be addressed to some level. And then you do your best to show up and get everything 100% checked off to the very best of your ability. But if something comes up or you can't for some reason make that happen, you have your default level where this is where I need to operate at minimum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's it allows things. And that minimum is going to be something that I can define as still pushing things forward, just not as much as I would want them to be.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I think for everyone, that minimum number is different.
It varies.
And it can be different for different areas of your life as well. Yeah. Maybe your minimum for health and fitness could be different than your minimum for work or family or some other priorities that you have in your life. So,
and I think with that, over time, the more consistent that you're at with this, consistent with these types of things, that window can kind of shorten and get smaller over time because you've proven yourself that you're more consistent, that you've progressed yourself, and you can define more of what your abilities are and work those logistics. And so it's better to start broader in the beginning if you're starting out with a new journey or something, and then you can kind of get a little bit more condensed as you know where your limits are.
So I think what you're saying, let me summarize to see if this is right. So you're saying the window is between your minimum and 100%.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's say that your minimum is 60% kind of consistency, and the upper level there would be 100%. You're saying that your window is that 40%. And I think the other point that you're bringing up is really important for someone like us in terms of health and fitness. Cruising on 80% plus consistency is actually pretty easy at this point. We've developed serious kind of grooves in our health and fitness journey. And if you've ever seen those grooves on like ancient roads where you have the like wagons or something that have just, you've had millions of wagons that have gone over this over millennia, and
what are you talking about?
Where do you have
the grooves on these people roads.
Okay, maybe not quite right, but I'm talking about the grooves on like a,
where the wheels go, like the ruts.
Yeah, ruts, but they, okay, that you
kind of like erosion, but with wagon wheels.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
It's just wearing it down. The point is, we got wagons with deep ruts, and the wagon easily stays on the road. But then other people who are just getting started, they don't have the same depth of the ruts, so it's easier to get off the track.
Well, yeah.
That's the point.
And on the flip side, like in addition to that, it's also just being able to come to terms with, over time, knowing that you don't need to be perfect in order to have success. And you kind of need to just prove that, to see that stuff in the mirror or with your lifts and everything.
Yeah, that's another really important point. Results do not require perfection.
And you need to prove it to yourself in order to be able to come to terms with that. And it's very important.
Yeah. And another point that I was trying to get to with the wagon analogy is that it's important to understand that when you're just getting started out, and you, let's say we're talking about health and fitness, and you don't have those really defined ruts on your path, you can set that minimum consistency level to, let's say, 20%. And that's where you start. And then you get a little further down the path, let's say in a few months, then you say, okay, now I'm holding myself to 30% minimum consistency, and then 40%. And then I'm raising that over time to shrink that window, as you talked about. So that's another important thing to keep in mind. But we're talking a lot about this idea of setting some baseline level of consistency. So maybe for you, it's just 10%, but it can always be more than zero, and it should always be more than zero, and you should hold yourself to some baseline level of consistency that is higher than zero. So that's the first tip, is just making sure that you're always reminding yourself there are a ton more numbers between zero and 100. It doesn't need to be binary. All right, tip number two is, don't call yourself a perfectionist. I think perfectionist and procrastinator are usually the same thing. And I used to call myself a perfectionist, so I feel like I can say this. saying that you need to wait until things are perfect or have the time, energy, and focus to maintain 100% consistency in the case of your health and fitness journey is really oftentimes just an excuse to procrastinate on your goals, kick the can down the road, and not actually take the action you know you need to be taking to accomplish your goals.
Waiting for the next thing to come up so you can say it again.
So I can say what again?
Oh, that you just don't have the time or feasibilities of doing it.
Oh, okay. Yes. So, yeah, I still hold myself, I used to call myself a perfectionist. I still hold myself to a very high standard of excellence. I do believe that's important, but I don't use the word perfectionist anymore because I've found it is really often just an excuse for procrastination, saying, oh, I'm waiting until things are perfect, or I'm waiting until I have the exact perfect plan, and you're never actually taking action, so you can't. You there's no way actually even to get to a perfect plan because you don't know what's perfect for you. You haven't actually gone down the path. So we can tweak things over time. We can make things better over time. And the irony here is you can't actually even get to a level of quote unquote perfection with your health and fitness journey because you're not going to figure out the perfect plan until you've actually started going down the path and testing things out. So you can use an evidence-based approach. You can get a coach. You can have all the resources in your corner to put yourself in the best possible position for success right out of the gate. But there's still some tweaking that needs to happen to make sure that you have the perfect plan for you. So convincing yourself that you're waiting until you got the perfect plan or the perfect anything is really just an excuse for allowing yourself to procrastinate and not actually get closer to your goals. All right, tip number three is to learn to give yourself grace. So when I'm sick or I'm not feeling my best, I can take time off or lower my intensity level and then jump right back in when I'm feeling better. So giving yourself that grace is really important. In fact, just today, I went to train legs for the first time in over a week. And when traveling, I just kind of was feeling fatigued. I felt like I was right on the edge of getting sick. You know, when you like come back from a trip and you're like, I think I caught something, and you're trying to kind of push past that and not actually become sick. That's kind of what I was feeling. And then a few days ago, I was moving stuff in our trailer to prepare for our next event, and I pulled my right adductor a little bit. I just kind of tweaked it in a funny way. And so anyways, a few reasons where I had a leg day for today, and I just wasn't feeling like I can bring 100%. And that's going to happen. So I wasn't using the weight that I normally use for these exercises in my workout for today, but I still strengthened my consistency muscle. And that is a often overlooked muscle that's not actually part of your body, but a really important part of the process is strength. I guess we could call it your strengthening your mind. Just that muscle of consistency, strengthening that over time so you can maintain a long-term adherence to consistency.
You gotta make that rut.
Exactly. So just focus on crushing every day to the best of your ability. I now shoot for 80% plus consistency from week to week. But at the same time, I give myself grace when I fall short. I give myself grace when I'm not feeling my best. I give myself grace when I'm facing adversity or stress or other things in my life that are holding me back from staying 80%+ consistent with my health and fitness routines. And that's okay. Tough days are going to happen. Adversity is going to happen. Stress is going to happen. Long days at work are going to happen. Things are going to happen with your kids, with your spouse. Things are going to happen in life. Life happens. But if you are always focusing on kind of giving yourself that grace and then really pushing forward when those stressors and that adversity lightens up a little bit, that's a really great approach. You do need to be radically honest with yourself. And I could come up with reasons for why it's not super convenient for me to work out this coming week. I've got a lot of stuff to do. So I could talk myself into it. So you need to exercise some level of personal accountability and responsibility and call yourself on your BS when you are trying to tell yourself that you can't do something that you actually could. So there's a fine line to walk there.
Well, that's why you would, why I encourage everyone to get a coach is just because a lot of people have attempted over and over again by themselves and have been left with failure. So in order to like really build this sense of self-awareness and self-discipline in this area of their life, you need to have someone that in a very loving way to be that kind of governor and regulator in your health and fitness, to saying like, hey, it's like, I get that, but that's actually incorrect. And you can be able to do this here. And when you kind of remove any of these past thoughts that have held you back previously, that's where you actually break through and realize how simple this process can be, as long as you're able to come to terms with not going all or nothing, you know? So I think developing self-awareness, which is something that takes time as well, it's just a process where it's a lot more enjoyable and smooth when you have a professional in your corner that has lived it and has worked with other people that have gone through that same exact thing.
Yeah, having a coach is really helpful. I think it all comes back to having accountability. And that's actually tip number four is creating.
See, I knew how to segue into that.
Creating some kind of public accountability, whether that's with one person or preferably a bunch of different people.
That's why so many people love posting onto Facebook saying, I'm doing this, you know?
That's also what I'm about to jump into. So, yeah, hold yourself accountable with some version of a consistency streak. This is something that we do in our coaching program, the Vegan Superhero Academy. Our clients, or at least a bunch of our clients, post daily consistency streaks for that public accountability from everybody in our coaching program. This is a very important point. These consistency streaks do not require 100% consistency with everything in your plan. You have to post every day to maintain a consistency streak, and you need to be sharing your takeaways every day, your wins, maybe what you struggled with and stuff like that. But we only ask that you do everything to the best of your ability every day. Some days, that means you did 70% of the stuff in your plan. Other days, maybe that's 40%. And then still others, maybe you just crush it on all cylinders and you hit 100% of what you wanted to do for the day. Great. But these consistency streaks do not require 100% consistency with doing everything that you have in your program, whatever that program looks like, but it does require that you are showing up every single day and doing your best and giving your best to each and every day. So yeah, being 40% consistent on one day because life happened and you just couldn't make it to the gym and you had to go on a walk instead of doing your workouts and you had to move your workouts around for the week and you got a little bit off your nutrition plan because you couldn't make it home for dinner. All that stuff, that's okay, but you need to create some kind of public accountability, or that's at least a really powerful way to maintain consistency, is creating that public accountability and sharing your journey. So yeah, if you are not an awesome group of other vegans, like in our Vegan Superhero Academy, then you can do the same thing on your personal social media accounts. You can have your friends hold you accountable, other people hold you accountable. It's better if you're being held accountable and sharing your wins and stuff with other people who are going through the same journey as you, which is why being part of a program can be so beneficial. But you can also create that same kind of accountability by just sharing what you're doing with friends and family.
The only caveat to that is, like, you have to have that level of self-awareness in order to be able to do that, because then it's really easy to say, oh, I don't need a post, and then they don't know. You know? So yeah.
Well, the point is starting from the beginning and saying, hey, everyone, for the next 100 days, I'm going to be posting every single day what I did. And that's kind of what I'm talking about, is making some kind of public declaration, some kind of statement, and then having other people hold you to that. And knowing when it's 9 p.m. and you're like, don't know that I want to totally finish out my day or something, you know, Johnny is going to see your posts or not see your posts. And he's going to know that you weren't doing the things that you said you were going to do. So yeah, that can be really valuable. And actually, that is super helpful to me too. I have been posting almost every day for the last few months for my consistency streaks in our coaching program group. And that has been awesome. That's really helped me to maintain a higher level of consistency. So yeah, it doesn't matter where you are in your health and fitness journey. My personal experience is that at least I have never gotten to a point where it's just like, oh yeah, 100% consistency every day. This is easy. I hold myself accountable. I haven't got there. I know a very few number of people who I think truly have gotten to that place.
I don't know anybody that has gone to that place.
I was thinking about David Goggins, but I think
if you really think about it, it's like, sure, he probably would do this all on his own, but he is posting on social media every single day, so it's just like he has to uphold David Goggins, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, that is a level of accountability.
Yeah.
To an extent.
In his new book, he does talk about just kind of cruising at a lower level than he wanted for a while.
Yeah.
And then he talks.
Everyone has highs and lows. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, well then maybe I stand corrected. Nobody gets to that point. And even more of a reason to create those external forms of accountability.
So for anyone that has tried that approach on their social media platform and it has failed over and over again, what's another avenue that you would recommend for them to try? First, extreme social accountability.
I don't really think that there's a reason that should fail. I think the only way that you could fail in that is if you stop posting.
Right. So if someone couldn't keep up with that because they kind of like talked themselves out of it, what's another way?
Well, then you need to get someone who is actually in your corner and actually following every single thing you're doing, and not Johnny, but as you said, a coach or someone else.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted you to say. Because like for me, it's I can post on social media. And it's like, it's nice to get like reassurance that other people see it. And it's like, allows me to hold me accountable. But what I really like is I like the thrill and excitement of kind of like putting some skin in the game, so to speak. And I think sometimes in order for you people to take things very seriously, you have to put a little bit more on the line and something to potentially like lose or waste. And that's why investing into yourself or like making like investing into a coach is really important, is because then you're like, man, I just paid that amount of money. I have to do this.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's generating accountability in some way is really valuable. And I happen to also think the same, that having a coach is really kind of the highest form of that accountability. So, all right, that's tip number four. Tip number five is to create a daily checklist. So I create a daily checklist for Trey, and it's been a huge help for him to stay focused and accountable. And I knew that he was not doing the stuff that he should be doing because he stopped sending me his daily checklist. So that's how I knew, okay, we need to have a serious conversation in LA about this. But when he was doing the checklist, it was really helpful. And we had a really great conversation about the checklist in LA. And he said, yeah, that was one of the most helpful things you've shared with me, and I need to get back to doing that on a daily basis. And I said, okay, well, came out of your mouth, and now I'm going to hold you 100% accountable to this.
Sometimes it's the most simple things.
Yeah, really. So his checklist has things like tracking his progress on a regular basis, like taking his vitamins, sharing his food pictures with me, hitting his daily step count, following his nutrition plan, drinking his target water intake that we set together, posting in our Vegan Superhero Academy Facebook group, and a couple other things. So he goes through, and at the end of the day, he sends me this list, and I either see check marks, green check marks, or red X's next to each of these. So I know, hey, these are the things he did, these are the things he didn't do. And that's him also holding himself accountable to the process and saying, just being transparent and sharing what went well, what didn't. And when I see a whole list of green check marks, awesome. That's really great. But they're usually not all green, and that's totally fine as well. But just sharing that process and very similar to showing up every single day and doing your very best, I have told Trey, hey, every day the goal is to check as many of these things off as possible. If we check off 100%, that's awesome. It doesn't always need to be 100%. Let's have the focus being trying to get 100% all the time, but checking off 80%, checking off 60%, that's also a win. So anyways, you can make a daily checklist for yourself too that covers these top priorities, whether it's your health and fitness or any area of your life or just your entire life and all the things you want to do on a daily basis. And give yourself kudos for the things that you checked off, and then go to bed with a plan for how you are going to crush the next day and try to check more things off if you didn't get everything done that previous day. But regardless of what happened yesterday, always do your best to just show up and crush a new day. Live in the present, not in the past. And I think lots of people get trapped in this mindset of, hey, I failed before, or this didn't work before, or why even bother because the last week I haven't been consistent. So help separate yourself from that by just focusing on what can I do today? What can I do moving forward to continue making progress? All right, tip number six, the last tip that I want to share is learn to trust the process. So sometimes progress comes slowly, even when you are 100% consistent. And it can be easy to wonder, what's the point if you are cruising at 60%, 80%, or even 100% consistency, but you're not seeing results as quickly as you want? Part of that is just reframing maybe what is realistic in a certain period of time, because so much of social media is, hey, check out this 7-day transformation. I lost 50 pounds. There's just way too much of that, and it's garbage. And every time I see something like that, I want to see the transformation photos from the next period of time. Like, okay, cool. But did you maintain that? What happened after? Because I think there's a lot of misinformation that's shared in that form. But anyways, lots of people don't see results at the rate that they ideally would want to see. That's perfectly normal. But learn to trust the process. When you're not seeing results as fast as you want, learn to trust that you are doing the things that you need to be doing. And I'd rather build a long-term, sustainable, long-term lifestyle instead of making a short little transformation as quickly as possible and then yo-yoing or falling off track or something. The goal is, how do I make this sustainable over the long term? The goal is not, how do I lose 100 pounds in the next month? So that's a really important thing to keep in mind as well. So that's why it's crucial to track your progress and also learn how to trust the process. So taking I wish that I had taken more kind of quote unquote before photos along my journey to map just how far I've come. And I think lots of people kind of don't track things at the beginning because they don't like where they're at or how they look or what their measurements are or something. And then they wonder, hey, why am I not seeing progress fast enough? And the only form of comparison is how they remember what they look like in the mirror a week ago versus now. So I think kind of building a longer results map is really helpful for that. But yeah, trusting the process, of course, requires that you actually have a good plan that is tailored to your schedule, your needs, your goals. You shouldn't have a cookie cutter plan, or it's going to be hard to trust the process when it's the same thing that everyone else is following, or and most people don't get results. So make sure you are doing the right things to get results. And that's why having a coach to shortcut that path to success and give you a program that you can actually trust can be a great path for lots of people. But just even if you're doing your own research and figuring out the right path for you, make sure it's the right path and then trust the process and focus on just maintaining that long-term view. I want to build a sustainable lifestyle here. This is not a get fit fast kind of focus. This is not a short-term quick fix. This is a long-term lifestyle. These are long-term habits I'm trying to cultivate. This is a long-term body, mind, and life transformation that I'm trying to bring about in my life. So, all right. So those are our top tips for breaking out of this all or nothing mindset, this zero or 100 mentality, while still pushing yourself to get great results and stay consistent along your journey. So I hope that you found value in this episode, and we look forward to catching you in the next one. To get access to some of our best content for free, head over to theVeganGym.com. We've got tons of articles and guides to help you burn stubborn body fat, build lean muscle, and supercharge your health. You can even use our vegan nutrition calculator for free to figure out how much protein, calories, and micronutrients your body needs. Get started right now at theVeganGym.com.